Artificial intelligence can create art, write papers, even help predict illness. What does it mean for the world of tech and you? Check out Artificially Minded, a new weekly series from the Wall Street Journal's Tech News Briefing. New episodes every Monday, all this month. This is your Tech News Briefing for Friday, April 21st. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. Thieves in cities across the U.S. are targeting victims not just for their iPhones, but for their Apple passcodes, a 4- or 6-digit code that provides access to someone's Apple ID, linked bank accounts, and other personal data. We've told you about this on the show before, but for some victims, the damage from this crime can be even worse, thanks to something called the recovery key. Our personal tech columnist Nicole Nguyen joins us to explain what's going on and discuss the devastating consequences it can have. That's after these headlines. Google has merged its two main artificial intelligence research units, Google Brain and DeepMind, into a new department called Google DeepMind. The new unit will be led by Demis Hassabis, the co-founder and CEO of DeepMind, which Google purchased for around $500 million in 2014. The reshuffle comes as tech companies jockey for leadership in the AI space. Google, a pioneer in some of the technology, has largely held back from wide public releases of its most powerful image and text generation programs, citing the need to test the tools for accuracy and signs of bias. Europe's air traffic control agency, Eurocontrol, says it's under attack from pro-Russian hackers. A spokeswoman said the hacking was not affecting the agency's air traffic control activities, though internal and external communications for employees were greatly affected. The attack adds to the already strong worries that Russia could interfere with Europe's transport, communications, and energy infrastructure as tensions rise between Russia and the West. And 5, 4, 3. Cheers for the inaugural test flight of SpaceX's Starship were followed by laments after the uncrewed rocket exploded minutes after launching. In a tweet, the company stated that Starship experienced a, quote, rapid unscheduled disassembly. Starship is one of the most powerful rockets ever built, according to the company. But in the days leading up to the event, SpaceX's CEO Elon Musk attempted to downplay expectations of the launch, highlighting the potential risks. Musk mentioned one of his concerns was the powerful engine installed on Starship's Super Heavy booster. Our aerospace reporter Micah Maidenberg explains what happened.
The Starship rocket made it off the launch pad. It took off and began roaring towards space. And the vehicle actually made it through the most intensive period during kind of that initial flight. And then a few minutes after sort of liftoff, what didn't happen is the spacecraft that sits on top of the vehicle's booster, the booster, of course, powers it off the launch pad. The spacecraft didn't separate from the booster. And shortly thereafter, the rocket exploded.
All right, coming up, Apple's recovery key was set up to protect iPhone users from losing access to their data. So why do some victims of iPhone theft say it's actually helping the criminals? We'll explain when we come back.
Join the Wall Street Journal for the WSJ Risk and Compliance Forum happening online May 9th. Together with experts, we'll unpack the latest Russia sanctions, data privacy laws, climate risks, and more. You'll take away a playbook of practical advice that you can use and implement on day one. Register now at wsj.com/risk and save 20% on your ticket using code PODCAST.
A basic feature of iPhones can help criminals who steal phones to also take over the digital lives of victims. It's the phone's passcode, the 4- to 6-digit sequence users type to unlock their devices. This is something the Wall Street Journal's personal tech columnists Joanna Stern and Nicole Nguyen reported on back in February. And since then, people have been reaching out to them about another iPhone security feature that thieves are using to take over accounts. This time, it's the recovery key. Joanna Stern has a video looking at this and speaking with one of the victims. You can check that out at WSJ.com. But to understand more about how this crime works and how users can protect themselves, I'm joined now by Nicole Nguyen. So, Nicole, we spoke about this kind of theft where someone's iPhone and their passcode can be stolen. Can you just remind us how this crime works and what some of the repercussions are?
A thief will cozy up to a target or will snoop their passcode from afar. And using that passcode and then stealing the victim's phone, they will then access the iPhone's passwords and log into banking apps and use other financial apps such as PayPal and Venmo in order to rack up fraudulent charges. Many of these victims were out socializing at night, and these thieves very cleverly would coerce them into handing over their phones so they could take a picture and then disabling the phone so that when it was returned to the victim or the target, they would have to enter in their passcode again, or they would film them from afar and then zoom in to the video to see what that passcode was that that person had entered before stealing their phone.
So now you're reporting that for some victims of this crime, there can be a bigger issue because of something called a recovery key. Can you just first explain what the recovery key is?
So a recovery key is an Apple-designed security setting that was initially intended to protect people. So if you forget your password or you lose your password, Apple has this password reset flow at iforgot.apple.com where you can enter in your phone number and then you get a verification code sent to that phone number, and then you can reset your password without knowing your previous password. So in this case, if your phone number was hijacked by a criminal through an attack known as SIM swapping, which is pretty complicated, but essentially thieves coerce the cellular companies to move your phone number to their own SIM, to a phone that they have in their hand, then the recovery key, which is an additional 28-digit code, is protective because it would ask for both the verification code sent to the phone and this recovery key that ideally only you possess. So there's this recovery key, which was supposed to protect Apple accounts, is being exploited by thieves in order to lock people out of their Apple accounts permanently so that the thieves can continue racking up fraudulent charges without the victim remotely wiping their device or tracking it down through Find My. And the photos, contacts, messages lost are just collateral damage from this crime.
If a user is already using the recovery key, though, won't they have that 28-digit passcode themselves?
You would think that, but all it takes to generate a new recovery key or turn one on is that device passcode. The iPhone's passcode is the most powerful way to access your online identity if you store a lot of your data in Apple's iCloud. So that device passcode can change your Apple ID password without needing the previous password. And it can also turn on the recovery key or generate a new recovery key without any sort of additional credentials.
You spoke with some of the victims of these kinds of crimes. Can you tell us about their experience?
One victim I spoke to, Cameron Devine, he's 24 years old. And he went to a bar in Boston with his friends after a Red Sox game. And his phone was taken, and he thought, no problem, you know, my phone is locked with a passcode. And actually, someone had sent a friend of his a text saying, I am the bar manager, and I have your phone, and you can come by the bar to pick it up tomorrow. Well, in truth, that text was sent by the thief, and it bought the thief a little bit more time to rack up fraudulent charges on Cameron's account and also turn on the recovery key. So after Cameron realized that the bar did not have his phone, he spent weeks with Apple customer service trying to get back into his account. And the representatives told him again and again, we cannot let you back into this account unless you furnish a recovery key. And he didn't know what that was. He definitely had never set it up because he had never heard of the recovery key. And so he's had an Apple account since he was a kid and has lost 15 years worth of photos, contacts, messages, everything. He was even locked out of his own Apple Watch because the thief had booted all of the trusted devices from his Apple account. And so the Apple Watch that was currently on his wrist that he didn't know the Apple account password to was essentially a paperweight.
What is Apple saying about this situation?
An Apple spokesman told us, "We sympathize with people who have had this experience, and we take all attacks on our users very seriously, no matter how rare. We work tirelessly every day to protect our users' accounts and data, and are always investigating additional protections against emerging threats like this one."
Why does Apple have the recovery key system?
Apple has this recovery key system because online hacking is very prevalent. The situation that the recovery key does not protect against is if your iPhone is stolen and the passcode is stolen along with it.
So how do others in the industry deal with account recovery?
Account recovery is a big issue across the industry. Any tech company that provides a service has this problem. Google handles account recovery a little bit differently. If you're a thief and you've stolen an iPhone and the passcode, you can change the trusted phone number, you can turn on the recovery key, all sorts of things to block the actual owner out from the password reset process. Google, however, accepts a previously listed recovery email address or phone number, and it can use data like a familiar Wi-Fi network or a familiar location in order to prove that you are you.
Just for some context, I mean, how big a deal is this potential theft? Because more than half of U.S. cell phone users have iPhones.
It's hard to know exactly how many people are affected by this type of crime, but we do know that since publishing our original story, dozens more victims have reached out to us, and new cities have emerged as hotspots, and that includes Chicago, New Orleans, and Boston.
Are there any steps that users can take to protect themselves from running into this situation with potentially having their phone stolen, their passcode stolen, and then not having access to the recovery key?
Until Apple makes a change to their policy or some sort of fix to this setting, there's not much you can do to prevent a thief from turning on the recovery key, but you can make it harder for them. So setting a complicated passcode and using both letters and numbers, what's called an alphanumeric passcode, is really important. And you can also use parental controls on yourself. You can use Screen Time, which is Apple's parental controls system, to block account changes on your iPhone.
All right, that's our personal tech columnist, Nicole Nguyen. Nicole, thanks for joining us for this conversation.
Thanks, Zoe.
And that's it for this week's Tech News Briefing. TNB's producer is Julie Chang. We had production assistance from Zoe Culkin. Our supervising producer is Melanie Roy. And our executive producer is Chris Zinsley. I'm your host, Zoe Thomas. Thanks for listening, and have a great weekend.